As we continue in worship, we're going to be reading from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 6 through 13. It says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith." I'm reading from the wrong translation than what's up there. After Mike asked me to. This is the Bible I grabbed. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Or in other translations, it says, diligently. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was a remarkable individual. In fact, a popularity poll conducted by the British Broadcasting Corporation, it was a few years ago in 2002, placed him fifth among the 100 most influential Britons of all time. Fifth among the most. He was like behind John Lennon. Wesley not only preached more than 40,000 times, but was also instrumental in launching schools, orphanages, microcredit loans for entrepreneurs, and health clinics in England. Wesley was a leader, and he accepted leadership as a trust given to him by others, a trust for which he would ultimately account to God. And one of the clearest evidences of Wesley's leadership ability was his capacity to recruit, develop, and deploy hundreds of Methodist lay people as leaders, stewards, and managers. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this, some of the different qualities that John Wesley thought were important in being a leader. And before you say, well, this series won't apply to me. I'm not a leader. I hope that you'll stay with me. The real question is not, am I a leader? Because we all influence someone. The question is, am I leading like Jesus? Am I living like Jesus? I'll be referring to a book throughout this time called Lead Like Wesley by Mark Corvett. And in the book, he looks at some different qualities that Wesley thought of as leaders, guidelines, principles. Wesley wrote this thing called Rules of a Helper. Rules of a Helper. Wesley knew that God does not always call the equipped, but God will not fail to equip the called. God does not always call the equipped, but God will not fail to equip the called. In saying that, during Wesley's ministry, he called those who no one would think would be a leader to help him, with most of these helpers having never served in a leadership capacity outside of their homes. He recruited soldiers and bankers and bakers. Jesus, too, called everyday people, people like fishermen, tax agents, to join him on his leadership team. Even though there were plenty of priests in Jerusalem, Jesus instead selected a team from among people working hard just to make a living. Wesley understood that while you can impress people from a platform, you impact lives by stepping into their world and modeling the behavior you expect from them. Dr. Albert Schweitzer said, "Examples are not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. Examples are not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. And although people in the business world can offer financial inducement or kind of reward for cooperation, leaders and volunteer organizations such as the church and other nonprofits that regularly depend on volunteers don't have that same capacity, capability. The individuals that serve can only be motivated by mission, by personal fulfillment, and by value of relationships. And so Wesley knew in order to create such a robust group of volunteers and lay people that he must deeply invest in those relationships and that he always sought to continue to learn and grow as he led. And so the first rule that we're going to look at, we're only doing, like, there's like 12 rules, and we're not going to do all 12 because that would be a long series. But we're going to look at just a couple of them. And so Wesley's rules of a helper, the first one I'm talking about is lead diligently. Lead diligently. And so every Monday morning, Wesley would reflect on the question, am I resolved to do all the good I can this day and be diligent in the business of my calling? Am I resolved to do all the good that I can this day and be diligent in the business of my calling? So in the scripture that I read just a little while ago, the Apostle Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we are many members, and not all members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ. And so he goes through these different gifts. If you're a teacher, teach well. If you're a giver, give generously. If you are a leader, lead diligently. As Paul has mentioned these many gifts, he says, if you're a leader, lead with diligence. Paul's ministry is a testament of diligence and leadership. He traveled on his missionary journey and preached the gospel in order to strengthen believers and establish churches. In 1 Corinthians, Paul reflects on his efforts by saying, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace to me was not given in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He worked tirelessly and dedicated in order to spread Christianity. In 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on to recount hardships that he endured through the sake of the gospel, including imprisonments and beatings and shipwrecks and constant dangers. And then despite these challenges, Paul remained committed to Christ and to the mission entrusted to him. The Bible uses diligence in several ways, and all the time in every way, it's used in a positive sense. And so the definition of diligence, if you're like, maybe I should have started there, is steady, earnest, and energetic effort, as well as persistent and careful hard work. Diligent people get the job done. They don't quit until they have given it their all. Wesley lived diligently. He wanted to make every day count in serving Christ, and that's why so much of his life was so methodical. He avoided long conversations, believing that long talks gravitate towards unprofitable topics and or gossip. His own consistent practice was to be in bed by 10 in the evening and to arise promptly at 4 in the morning, and to sleep more than that was, in his view, to deprive the Lord of the hours needed for worship and productivity. You know, I have not jumped on that bandwagon yet. I have not started living my life going to bed at 10 and waking up at 4, although I could see the benefits. But I'm guessing that Wesley wasn't too much into sports. Although horse racing would have been a good one for him, since he traveled more than 250,000 miles over his ministry, mainly by horseback. He had the fastest horse. That would have been a good thing. He believed every minute was precious, and that the gift of today is equally distributed to all of us. So Wesley sought to make every minute count. Diligence in leadership and even in our Christian living isn't about relentless hustle or chasing applause. It's about leading with purpose and living with purpose and balance and heart. It's about setting the standard of what is most important to us and how we use our time. If you come to the office during the week, you might catch me in one of my 16 meetings throughout the week, or you might not catch me here because I'm gone visiting schools or hospitals, I'm working out at the gym, or serving out in the community, trying to make the most out of my days. And I think I've gotten even more focused on this over the last couple years. You know, the first challenge in our diligent lifestyle and Christian living is to be clear about which activities will add the most value. And the second challenge is to allocate not the end of our time when we're tired, but our premium time to those activities. When we live with diligence, it allows us to make the most out of each of our days in order to make a difference in the world and in the lives that we have the opportunity to impact. It allows us to multiply whatever gift that we have in collaboration with one another who are doing the same. For our success is not found in what we gain, but it's how we diligently live in relationship to God and the body of Christ and the greater good. And so, I would invite you to think about those areas where you feel that maybe you need to work on this idea of diligent living, especially in the management of time as an act of worship and stewardship. And also, what are those areas that you are succeeding, that you feel that you are doing well as you live out your call and your gift to God and to others? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be in worship this morning as we choose to be here and as we could be doing other things. But Lord, we are grateful for this gift of time that we can come together, that we can worship you beside one another and to share our gifts as we look to know that we're not alone, but then as we enter back into the world to live as the body of Christ, as you've called us to do. So, Lord, may we look for opportunities to best live that out each and every day. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.